Let's do the next one. We're going to do it a little bit more, and then we're going to take a break. Okay? But I want to give you a very, very brief history of the Bible. We're done talking about conversion. We're going to get into divine revelation. I'm going to give you a very brief history of the Bible. Okay? We're not going to, in one night, give you the whole history of the Bible. I can't. I'm not that good at all. Okay? But enough to get you interested in it, and maybe you learned something that you didn't know before. And then we'll take about a 10-15 minute break, and then we'll come back and finish up with divine constitution on divine revelation, the dogmatic constitution on divine revelation. Okay, go ahead to the next slide. We're going to talk about the Hebrew Bible, okay, the Tanakh. The Hebrew Bible has three parts to it, and the Tanakh is an abbreviation taken from these three words. The first part is the law. It's called the Pentateuch. It's the first five books that are attributed to Moses as the author. Okay, and it's also called the Torah. Then there's the books of the prophet. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, so I'm not going to try. Okay, and the writings. And if you put those three words together, it comes down to Tanakh. Okay, initially there were 12 books. Any idea why there were 12 books? 12 tribes. Okay, it's not that there was fewer writing. All of the books that are in the 39 books now were there. They just compressed them because they wanted to have 12 books, one for each tribe. That 12 was very, very important to the Jewish people, still is. Okay? The canon was actually written, that 12 books eventually expanded to 39 because there really were 39 different writings in there. Okay? The canon was developed between 460 BC and 390 BC by Kings Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay? And they used the 39 books. All the books were written in Hebrew or Aramaic. Okay? And that's the 39-book Old Testament. Go ahead to the next one, Bob. The Septuagint. It's the Greek version of the Old Testament. We know that the canon was put into place 460 to 390 BC. Then Alexander the Great came in, okay, and we started the Hellenistic period, the Greek Golden Age. And Greek became the common language for everyone. It was written in Greek. We spoke Greek. They spoke Greek. Okay, but especially in writing, things were written in Greek. The Jews had to leave Jerusalem. Okay, Alexander the Great took over the area. They were dispersed. And so the Jewish people were dispersed all over the Greek kingdom. Okay? Now, the Bible that Jesus read, at some point in time, the story, the tradition is that 70 men got together to write the books that make up the Jewish Bible. Again, and they were dispersed all over the world as it was known at that time. And they all came up with the same 46 books. Not 39 books, but 46 books. There were seven extra books. This Bible is called, this Old Testament is called the Septuagint, which I think has something to do with 70. Septa, okay? And this is where we got the extra seven books that we use. Now, the question is, the Bible that Jesus read, 39 or 46? Hit once there, Bob. In the Gospels, there are 26 references in Matthew to one of those seven books. Okay, one of the extra seven books. And again, some of these seven books were written after Ezra and Nehemiah, and that's why the Jews said, well, they can't be inspired because they were written after the canon was already made. Okay, and we know that Maccabees, for example, okay, was written well after Ezra and Nehemiah. So, but the important thing here is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mark not so much, but the other three, okay, they make frequent references to those seven books, okay? The epistles and the letter to Hebrew, okay? Again, frequent references. Now, if there is one person who is a devout Jew who also wrote New Testament, who would it be? Paul. Paul was a devout Jew, yes? He was a Pharisee. He believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did. Paul references, 59 times. He makes 59 references to one of the seven books. There's no question in my mind, okay, just from this data, this is kind of the accountant in me coming out, okay, there is no question in my mind that the apostles and probably Jesus read the Septuagint, okay? If it was good enough for the apostles and Jesus, I think it's good enough for me. Let's go to the next slide and see what happened here. The Christian Old Testament, in 1990 to 120 AD, the Jewish canon returned to the 39. Why? Because the Sadducees took control of the Jewish. The Pharisees were not so much a part of it anymore. The seven books talk a lot about resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. So what did they do? They went back to the 39. It was Hebrew and Aramaic, and they said, this is going to be our Old Testament. This is going to be our Bible. They don't have a New Testament. Okay? This is going to be our Bible, and it still is. They still use those 39 books to this day. The Christian Old Testament kept the 46. The Council of Hippo in 393 and Carthage in 417 both agreed that it's the 46 books. The Protestant churches took the Jewish canon. Okay, when we had the Reformation, the Protestant churches said, hey, the Jews say it's the 39. Therefore, these other seven must not be inspired. The Jews don't accept any of the New Testament either, but they agreed to the New Testament. I'm grateful for that. But anyway, the Council of Trent in 1546 declared solemn approval for the 46. It's not that it only happened in 1546, but what happened was the Protestant Reformation happened in 1520. And so all of a sudden there was great division, and so the church spoke with authority and declared the 46. But they have been looking at the 46 since Paul's time and since the apostles' time as inspired scripture. Okay? What else do we have on here, Bob, before break? The New Testament has 27 books. We'll go through this fairly rapidly because I know you've been sitting for a long time. Between 110 and 160 AD, there were five listings. And this is kind of just the development of the books. There were five listings that identified 5 to 18 of the books that are of the 27 books that are in the New Testament. The next grouping, there were 6 listings of 22 to 25 books. Plus, there was this guy Clement, Pope Clement, okay, one of the doctors of the church. He had 22 of the final 27 books, but he also had 9 books that are not inspired. They're not deemed to be inspired. So he had a 31 book listing of the New Testament. Go ahead, Bob. Between 350 and 400, there were 5 listings of 23 to 29 books. The Codex in 350 had the final 27 plus 2. There's another one that I don't even want to try to pronounce that had the final 27. And then finally, there was the Vulgate St. Jerome in around 400 AD, also with the final 27 books. Okay, so it developed over time, but the core had been there since the very beginning. Okay, but there was a transitional process. The Bible didn't just, boom, here we are, here's your 27 books. Okay, it took 300 years to develop that canon. Okay, now I have this up there because, go ahead to the next slide, Bob. Okay, the 16 listings included 10 books that are not included in the final 27 books. The Shepherd of Hermas was included in 4 of those 16 listings. I've never heard of it before. I've never read it before. But that's the same as the third letter of John. Third letter of John only appeared in 4 of those listings. Okay? First Clement and the Epistle of Barnabas were included in each of the three listings. Why do I bring this up? You've heard about the lost Gospels, the Gnostic Gospels, and there's lots of talk out there, and there's, what was the movie? There was a movie out there, Da Vinci Code, that talked about this great conspiracy, okay, that the Catholic Church decided to keep out these Gnostic Gospels. If the Gnostic Gospels really were something like they say they were, don't you think they would have showed up on one of these 15 or 16 lists? Over a 300-year period, don't you think somebody would have put them on the list? Go ahead to the next click there. Only one of the 12 Gnostic Gospels appears on any of the 16 listings. Okay? I'm sorry, but, you know, were there writings out there? Yes, there were definitely writings out there. But were they ever looked at as possible inspired writings? No, no. Only one of them ever appeared on one of the lists, and it was not on any of the other 15 lists. Okay? So I don't get too fired up about the Gnostic Gospels. If you've ever read one of the Gnostic Gospels, you can see it right away. I was real intrigued. I wanted to read the Gospel of Thomas because everybody thinks Thomas was the doubting Thomas. I think Thomas was the only one who really had guts. Everybody else was hiding in the upper room. Thomas was not. He was out, okay, doing whatever he was doing. So I wanted to hear about what Thomas had to say, eyewitness. And so I read the Gospel of Thomas. It's not a gospel, okay? It's a bunch of sayings. I mean, you can't even compare it to what we have. It's not inspired. I can tell it's not inspired writing, and I'm not even that good. So anyway, what's next? I think we take a break now. Yes. Again, we have a few Bibles up here.